What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Unscripted, your favorite show on Web3, crypto, Corium, and everything else. I'm joined with Niles today from the Corium team. And I'm joined today with a very special guest, one of our Wave 3 grantees from Cookbook. Adam, what's going on, man? Nice to meet you.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good. So welcome to the show, man. Let's get started for the people who aren't super familiar with Cookbook. We've been living under a rock. Maybe just give everyone a quick overview of what Cookbook is and how you guys got started.
Yeah, sure. So Cookbook is AI-powered Web3 dev ecosystem. It's a set of tools for developers in Web3 that makes it vastly faster and smoother and easier to onboard, learn, build, and deploy a Web3 dApp, a Web3 project. And what we do is we integrate. I mean, we have a smart contract library of 1,800 plus smart contracts. It includes the Open Zeppelin library, the Ethers library, a bunch of others. It's organized by type of project, by language, by chain, every which way. So that rather than have to scour the whole internet for smart contract templates and then wonder if they're good or bad or valid or even useful, we have it all, the organized 1,800 plus, as I said, audited smart contracts. And then we have an AI chatbot, Chef GPT. That's our buddy. So you can ask this chatbot any question. I want to spin up this type of project. Find me a contract template. I'm having this issue. How do I solve it? And what we find is that the time to onboard a dev with Cookbook goes down from like a week to an hour, and the time to launch a project goes down from weeks to a few hours because everything is in one place and you have the chatbot to speed you up. And so what we do is we integrate these tools and a few others. The other big one is Developer Playground, where you can start actually coding. We integrate all of that into the technical docs of blockchain projects. So we're integrated with Monad, Barrachain, Linea, Celo, Fuel, Fuse, Corium, and many, many others. And there will be a button that comes up in the corner of the screen that says, ask Corium or ask Linea AI. And when you click that button, you get a window that pops up that has the contract library, the chatbot, a playground tab with chain info, has all the blockchain's resources organized in one place. And so we really see it as a tool for blockchain ecosystems to grow faster, because you can onboard more devs, keep the devs that you've onboarded so that rather than getting frustrated and rage quitting, they actually stick with it and keep building. And you get more devs, more on-chain activity, token go up, and it becomes a virtuous cycle. And so that in a nutshell is Cookbook. It started because our CEO Tyler is himself a Web3 dev, and he had a Web3 development consultancy where he was basically doing freelance Web3 development work. And he was encountering all the problems that I've been sort of alluding to, that it was slow, it was cumbersome, he had to go to a million places, the resources were all over the place, everything was disorganized. He would find a smart contract template, he wasn't sure if it was useful or not, if it was reliable or not. And he just looked at it and said very simply, somebody ought to get this organized. And so he put together the smart contract library and a rudimentary version of the chatbot and started sharing it with devs and DevRel friends and Telegram chats. And people were like, oh my God, thank you. And so, that's basically where it started. And it's now grown to the point where, as I've mentioned, we've integrated with many of Web3's top projects. We have more on the way. We're very, pleased with our Corium integration and the activity that we've seen on Corium and people picking up the platform and using it to help with their development on there. It's been very exciting. We've been growing very quickly for the past really 3-4 months. We saw kind of a hockey stick trend in usage, and it's been really fun. It's a project that I think, sometimes in Web3, there's a lot of like, well, in 10 years or in 30 years, this is going to be everything. Like, well, we're here now. You know what I mean? This is something that people are using now, that we're getting value out of now, that is helping Web3 grow and attract more devs and deploy more dApps and, you know, make it easier to innovate and grow now. And I think that's really very exciting for me and fun to feel that impact, like in a really immediate way. So that's our story.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you for giving us the window into, you know, the ideation phase. And then, yeah, everything that you're working on as well is like very nicely summarized and laid out clear. It's so broadly advantageous across the Web3 ecosystem. Like in, you know, in my understanding, we have like largely, right, like it's kind of a siloed accessibility for language for programming smart contracts, particularly with Solidity, like most largely. And so, yeah, opening up developer accessibility across a diverse like ecosystem of developer or coding languages, I think is so important. And then especially you have all of those predefined and pre-audited smart contracts as well. So yeah, amazing. And thank you for giving us that window into the ideation phase.
Personally, like as a non-technical, non-developer type person that works for Corium, I go to your guys' chatbot and I ask all the questions. When someone asks me a question I don't know, I'm like, 1 second, ask AI.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
And right on. I love that. Yeah, I think we, you know, to be honest, like we've had conversations internally where we were like, oh, our DevRel is going to push back on this because they're going to feel like the chatbot is trying to take their job. And then I think what we found is it's quite the opposite, where it's like it's kind of the best version of AI, where the chatbot is available in all time zones in every language. And, you know, if you're a dev and it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're ready to throw your monitor out the window or your laptop out the window, the chatbot's there and it can answer your question. You don't have to bother the DevRel. You don't have to wait for them to wake up in their time zone. You know, it can help you right away. And that makes it smoother for devs and makes it easier for DevRels. And it's been like really a win-win. So it's been great to see.
So for Cookbook, the company, how's your experience been with like the grant programs, with your reception in Web3? How have you guys experienced this? So I know you talked about DevRels maybe potentially pushing back, but then coming to fruition that it is actually an incredible tool. What other type of stories have you had on this journey?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the thing that, like, I'm the chief marketing officer, so I joined, you know, 3 months ago and immediately was like, oh, this is fun. You know, that show The Bear had just wrapped its latest season. And so, like, I was playing with all these memes and GIFs and cooking themes and stuff and Let Them Cook and We're in the Kitchen and all this stuff. And, you know, it was really like one of the things that we hit on kind of immediately was, you know, everybody says devs do something. We say do something for devs, where it's like, hey, you know, put some respect on these devs, please. So, Yeah, so it was, you know, it's been fun for us. I think we felt like there was a market opportunity, if you want to, you know, use the that term, to make a product that instead of saying here is yet another L1 or L2 or L3, where somehow or other we're going to beg devs, you know, like one marketing person I spoke to at a blockchain foundation, I said, how do you attract devs? And he said, oh, we spray and pray. He said, we spend money on everything we can think of. We do hackathons, we do events, we do stuff on Twitter, we do, you know, like whatever we can do. And then we just hope that they come. And then we hope that they stay. And so, you know, amidst all of that, the thing, I think Tyler's great insight, which I think really like speaks to the vision that he had for the company that is bearing out, is that within all of this competition to say, please devs, build on our chain, no one was actually making a tool that actually made the experience of development itself easier or faster or smoother or even more fun. And Cookbook does that. So it becomes a situation where it's like some of the people we've spoken to, they've told us that they're spending as much as $500K per dev to attract a dev to build on their chain. And, you know, yeah, right. And so it's, you know, it's tough. And there's a bit of like this desperation, where it's like there are not, you know, if you read Electric Capital, they write a report on the state of Web3 development every year. And if you look at the report, it's a bit dated now because we're coming to the end of the year. But their 2024 report was basically like Web3 devs are a small fraction of the global population of developers. And in some areas like Bitcoin developers, for example, is shrinking because Web3 development is tough. The tools are new, the languages are new. You know, as I said, like there's a lot of tribalism where different resources for different chains, even if it's all Solidity, are spread out. And so, you know, it's a pain. And I think that what we're carving out is really a space where, you know, Cookbook is coming through and saying, let's do something for devs, let's help devs. And in so doing, let's get Web3 paced up in terms of its ability to continue innovating. Because, you know, the Web3 space is only maybe 15 years old, and we've had a relatively small community of devs create and launch an astonishing number of innovations. You know, all of DeFi, all of, you know, everything we see on chain, and trillions of dollars of economic value that's been created out of that. But I think what we're all feeling, and everybody is sort of, you know, like in 2021, there was a sense of what I saw someone describe as a Cambrian explosion. There were so many new ideas, and it was so exciting, and you know, everything was an all-time high, and everything seemed like a good idea. And, you know, I mean, not like, I remember when WAGMI was still a thing, right? Like everything was going to work out. And not everything did, and that's the way that goes. But like now in this cycle, there's kind of a sense that, well, we still have the ideas from last time, but what really are the new ideas? And there's a sense that the pace of innovation within Web3 might be slowing down. And the solution to that is we need more devs. And we need the devs that we have to be able to innovate and ideate and deploy much faster. And Cookbook is doing that. And I think that's really what excites me about the product and the team and the opportunity to help is like, you know, I've been in crypto now for a little over 3 years. My first role was at Coinbase, and then I left and joined OKX. And then I was at a marketing agency called Scribe. And every step I feel like has brought me closer and closer to the heart of the space. And now at Cookbook, it's sort of like, all right, well, you know, I'm sort of like right next to the fire now, where it's like, I'm working with devs. These are the people who are creating the ideas who are going to drive this space or not. And we're trying to help them. And that's a great feeling. I really I enjoy that. I appreciate that. And so I think, people get that, and they see us as a tool that's coming through that's really filling a need for devs.
It's so awesome because it does really speak to the goal of Cookbook in increasing the accessibility, and that's maybe something that we talk about a lot on the podcast here, and I'd love to get your opinion on is as Web3 is starting to expand and reach more into our regular lives, we call it Web 2.5 on the podcast, but like that space as people we start to bring more people on chain, right? Cookbook seems like it has an integral role in that. And how do you see that Web3 space expanding? In which areas? Is it the chain abstraction area? Do you think it's more so in the DeFi space?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I'm not a coder. I'm not really a particularly technical person. I used to be a lawyer. And so what you learn as a lawyer is the ability to like learn something new. If it's, you know, there's a case that's about like, I once did a case on international coal shipments. I didn't know anything about that. So I read about it for like 2 hours and I was like, all right, I got it. Let's go. What do you need? And so, you know, you learn to be able to drop into a sort of technical area and learn enough to understand the issues. And I taught myself crypto in that way. And then I wanted to start playing around with it. What is this coin? What is that coin? You know, like, what is the difference between, you know, like a blockchain and Hedera hash graph, like starting to learn all of these different nuances back in, you know, 2020 and 2021. And then what is DeFi and all of that? And what, you know, like without any formal finance training, what are all these Lego blocks and these different interest rates, all this stuff? And I think that, you know, it's something where I was able to get enough to like basically understand what was going on. So I don't know that I have any particular expertise about like who's going to win or where it's going to grow. I mean, I remember in 2022 when the winter hit and the cycle ended and, you know, Three Arrows Capital and Luna collapsed and all of that. And then we started thinking about, well, okay, if you still believe in the space, then you believe it's going to come back. And I did. And so I started reading about like, well, what do we think is going to be next? The almost unanimous opinion of every, you know, smarty pants in the Web3 space was it's going to be GameFi, right? We're going to see gaming, and gaming is where we're going to get all of the next generation of degens who like video games and like money and are going to love GameFi. That has not really materialized. And I really thought it would, because that thesis basically made sense to me. And the people who were promoting it seemed like smarter than me. That has not panned out. I think a lot of the talk has been, number one, about just basic infrastructure, L1s, L2s, and number two, about RWAs, which I think are, you know, kind of the end game. Like, ultimately, what we want is to be able to kind of represent on chain the things that we do in real life in order to use crypto as a way to validate, like, is this pair of Nikes authentic? You know, is this painting in the museum the original, or is this a very sophisticated copy? Can we start, you know, using crypto to validate things that are going on in the real world? And I think that's fascinating. But I do think, you know, I read a book about the history of Chicago. And one of the things they talked about in this book was the history of the railroads, because that's how you get to Chicago. And basically, like, in America and in England, there was a huge railroad speculation boom for many years, at different times, but in many years. And what you ended up with was people investing in railroads that went literally nowhere, where people were just like straight up rug pulling them. We're going to build a railroad from nowhere to nowhere. Would you like to buy a share? And the people, without really understanding where the railroad was, were like, yeah, sure. Railroads, railroads are the thing. I'm in. And so what you ended up with was some people made money, some people lost money. But when it was all said and done, you had a tremendous nationwide railroad network. This happened in England and this happened in the US. And that's kind of what I see with L1s and L2s, is people are like, do we need another L2? Why do we need this L1? Why do we need this? Why do we need that? And I say, listen, it's a railroad boom. Build them. If you want to bet on them, bet on them. If you want to bet against them, bet against them. Some of them will make it and some of them won't. But what we're going to be left with when the dust settles is the quote unquote multi-chain Web3 universe that I've been hearing about since I got in the space years ago. And I think that basically can work. I don't know exactly what it will look like, but I'm expecting that, you know, as we look ahead 5 years, 10 years, and I'm already reading things that, like, the next iteration of the Ethereum roadmap is basically going to be abstraction, you know, which you mentioned, to the point that Ethereum across mainnet, shards, L2s is going to feel like a unified experience. Now, if we can get there, that's obviously a game changer, because, you know, when I got in the space, like, the bad UX was a feature, not a bug. If you went to Curve Finance and you couldn't figure out how it worked, they were like, if you can't figure out how this works, we don't want you here. Keep your money and go away, you know? And then at a certain point that flipped and they were like, actually, I think we would like your money. Would you come back for a sec? We redesigned the website. And so, you know, it became a thing where it's like, no, 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 we want normies. We want institutions. We want to open this up. And I can tell you, I did some work with institutional clients at Coinbase. They are not very sophisticated about this. If you make it hard for them, they will quit. They will say, listen, I don't need this. I'm already making like a quadzillion dollars a year. If you confuse me and make me feel dumb, I will not do the work to figure it out. I will just leave. And so there is at this point, you know, a need, I think, to, like, abstraction is a big part of fixing the UX. And I think that's going to happen as well. So, you know, I think that, like, in terms of time horizons, right, who knows? Like, Monad is a project that I've done some work with when I was at my marketing agency. They're a partner of Cookbook. I know that team. They're, you know, crack builders, right? They're the best. And they haven't even really launched their testnet yet. So who knows what this is all going to look like when it shakes out, right? It's a railroad boom. You know, I'm pretty confident that when the dust settles, we're going to have a unified Web3 multi-chain experience. And I think RWAs will be part of it. I think GameFi will be part of it. DeFi will definitely be part of it. Stable coins, of course. You know, I'm kind of anticipating that it, say in the next 5 to 10 years, the US is going to have to make a move and do something about a digital dollar. And I don't think the political will be there to do a central bank digital currency after seeing the experience in China, where it's, you know, can be used as a surveillance tool. Like, I don't think Americans are going to love that. You know, I think the solution there is you think about like a public-private partnership with someone like Circle or PayPal for PYUSD. That's going to be another use case where it's like, we got to figure out how to bring the dollar on chain in some sort of official way. And so I think that's coming. And so, yeah, I mean, overall, I'm very, very bullish on the space. I think that crypto and AI jointly are going to drive the US economy and the global economy for the next 20 to 30 years.
I really, the railroad comparison, I don't think I've heard that before, and that really is incredible. And it's interesting because, like I said, I kind of am the normie perspective for the team here on our marketing team for Corium. And so a lot of it is me trying to wrap my head around stuff and see if I can explain it to my mom, right? Or explain it to my fiance. Just try and package it up so that they can understand it. And I maybe made the same jump in my own mind, like, oh, Web3 is gaming. It's going to be this metaverse style gamified situation, and this is where crypto, or this is where Web3 is headed. And absolutely, as you said, the simplification of the UX and the UI, because like looking at some of these platforms initially, I'm like, I just close the window because it's just terrifying. That really is a huge inroad for being able to just like a couple taps, or even as a developer, with the developers that I know. Simplification of when I ask them, like, hey, do you know anything about like blockchain development and stuff? They're like, nah, we stay away from that because it is so new and so complex. So that's where I think it's so cool that like a cookbook exists to just make that process
easy. 100%. Yeah, I think some people may need to revise some of their expectations and timelines if more tooling or cookbooks itself begins to expand within all ecosystems and development becomes like more streamlined, easier, more accessible, all of these things. Like, we just get more of what we want at an accelerated pace. And I think, as far as like the broader overview of where trends are headed, like I think you're spot on, and I align like a lot of what the visions you shared as well. Obviously we're waiting on like, you know, some global regulatory standards to, you know, be more mainstream and standardize the way that processes work, particularly like to circle back to real world assets, like the on-chain to off-chain synchronization of how those assets are represented on-chain. Like, we need a regulatory framework for exactly how that looks. Also too, I think more broadly, we have like, you know, many, many tokens kind of populating the entire ecosystem with, you know, shoehorned type of utilities. And there's a lot of, like, in my opinion, greater fool dynamics happening going on where there's marketing of what some might consider like a vaporware type of product, and somebody cashes out while other people lose money. And so, yeah, I think, you know, it's up to like real established and, passionate teams such as yourself to, you know, rewrite their script and redefine the way that digital assets can provide utility and value to everyday users at a level where they may not even necessarily know that they're utilizing a blockchain, where also people understand the benefits that can be actualized through the implementation of this technology, one of those being removal of middlemen. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think one of the concerns that I have and that I've chatted with Tyler about, and Tyler, you know, we wrote an op-ed we published a few weeks ago talking about like what do we need to bring more Web3 devs into the space and to better activate the Web3 devs that we have, like to sort of let them cook. And one of the things we talked about was, you know, the sort of sense of tribalism, and that cookbook in particular, our goal is not to pick winners and losers. You know, if you want to build, we want to help. That's the bottom line. And I'll give you another sort of old timey 19th century analogy, which is, you know, when the gold rush and silver rushes happened, there were basically two classes of people. There were people who showed up and said, I'm going to get a gold claim and maybe I'll strike gold and be astronomically rich, or maybe I'll find nothing. And there were people who sold pickaxes to the gold miners and the silver miners, right? And the pickaxe people said, look, I'm not going to, you know, make a king's ransom, but I'm going to make money for sure. I don't have to find gold. Everybody needs a pickaxe. So I think of Cookbook as a pickaxe protocol, where it's like, some, as I say, You know, some of these L1s and L2s and other projects are going to make it, some are not, but everybody's going to need devs. And our goal is like, we want to support innovation. We want to support Web3. We want to expand the universe of the number of devs. We, you know, we're working with college DAO and blockchain clubs at universities and talking about how can we get them starting to, you know, think about Cookbook now and like, you know, students in India, where my understanding from people I've spoken to who live out there is there's an enormous amount of social pressure for, you know, kids in college in India where their parents are like, do you know how hard we work to send you to school? You better get a job with a good company. And a good company means Google, Amazon, Apple, you know, like some sort of Web2 behemoth, Microsoft. Well, you know, those guys really aren't hiring right now, certainly not in the way that they have been. And there's just not the juice left in that orange that there was 10 or 20 years ago. Like, you're not going to see the kind of astronomical growth in Web2 tech that you saw in the first part of the 21st century. Like, you know, I saw somebody in my Twitter feed said, I've been at Amazon for 10 or 15 years, and in that time, our revenue has grown 40x. He said, if it grew another 40x from here, it would be larger than the GDP of the United States. So that's not happening. So, you know, so the thing that we want to impress upon, like, not just existing devs, but new devs, is there's an opportunity here. You know, Web3 is a young industry. It needs devs. And if you are approaching this with the sort of sense of, but, you know, all I know about is Java or Python or C++, how do I get started with these new languages, Rust and Solidity and Move? Say, here's Cookbook, you know. This tool will help you. And so, I think our approach is we really want to work with whoever we can who is trying to build in the space, innovate in the space, and wants to do something to make life better for their devs, period.
Such a great analogy too. I keep like pining about your analogies, but I mean, the pickaxe thing is just, it's just so perfect because it really is that. It's, and we think of ourselves, I think at Quorium, Michael and I have talked about us being a solution for developers and for, businesses looking to come on chain, creating initiatives for new businesses, and companies that are new to Web3, becoming that gateway to really get them on chain, find a way to bring this on chain, off chain communication into one place. Cause that is going to be the future, as you said. And the more we can do that, I think it's interesting because, like, as we're talking about this, I'm thinking about, like, in Web 2, there's a lot of, maybe early on, your email address, I remember at some point, like, I wasn't just creating 1,000 Gmails. Like, my email address was like my name, it felt like you knew it was me. And now as time has progressed, obviously, you know, it's so easy to create emails, so easy to you know, be scamming, be fake. So Web3 has kind of been that same thing where now you have your wallet, but you can create 1,000 wallets now. So as they start to KYC and start to bring things into being real, putting some of these assets as they move on chain and being able to take your gold and make it lightweight, but know that you have it somewhere, that whole process is just, it's really interesting to me. And that really seems like the RWA use case of the future. Like, that next big step is going to be just like digitizing this real world that we live in.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, not all of it is like, I mean, you could get real sophisticated with the RWA stuff and be like, oh, it's going to be smart cities where it's like every lamppost is going to be on chain, you know, like every inch of every square of concrete in the sidewalk is going to be on chain. But you could do, I mean, there's simple stuff where it's like stock certificates. You know, I've read about investment banks that are like, oh, we lost the stock certificates, or we got confused about storage and maintenance of the stock certificates. It's like, guys, this is idiotic. This is not the 1700s. Just put this on chain for the love of God. And so it's those sorts of things that, you know, I think are really low hanging fruit opportunities for huge markets. And I think we're going to see that sort of stuff first. And I think that's coming for sure.
Yeah, like, I need to go to the DMV and get a new driver's license. And I hate it. I hate that I have to do that. And like, I wish I could just have it in my wallet and you know it's real. And then you just scan my QR code or something. There it is. I got a driver's license.
Yeah.
To use our Alliance terminology here, just cooking up a nice recipe. to like in alignment with Corium's like kind of our one of the flagship features of Corium being native smart contract functionality, largely eliminating the need for like external or interaction with external smart contracts for programmable logic, and you know optimized for like business cases and enterprise grade use. So yeah, I'm really excited about where the future is headed in general, and specifically, you know, what we're cooking up in our zone as well.
Yeah, same. And you know, it's been very exciting, as I said, to be partnering with you guys and to see the activity. It's, you know, it's been great. So it's you know, wonderful to be working with you, and I appreciate you having me on again.
Absolutely. Before I have you go, I got to ask something about the future real quick. Like, what do you guys see as your next steps? What's the next 5 years or so looking like? 10 years, 20, 100 years?
For Cookbook?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's easy for us. We're kind of at the point where, like, we're still basically pre-revenue. You know, we have some money coming in, but it's almost been like a test of, like, will people pay for this? And now we're, you know, currently raising a round, and the funds that we're putting together, we've had a lot of interest, especially from, you know, people who understand development, DevRels and blockchain ecosystem funds. And what we're going to do with those funds is build out primarily the product team and build V2. And Cookbook V2 is something that, you know, is going to be much more robust as a tool set and as sort of like a holistic piece that if you're starting up a blockchain, you can almost just like prefab drop this in, and it's got, you know, template docs and everything your devs need to start building on chain right away. So we talk about it as like Hugging Face for Web3 or Vercel for Web3. And I think that is definitely the next step for us, is to build that more mature product. And then where we go from there, I think kind of depends on where Web3 goes. But I think, you know, as I said, like the really exciting thing for us is whatever direction or shape the Web3 space takes, it's going to be guided by devs. And, you know, we help devs. So, you know, I think we're like in that sense, just very excited to be contributing and to be along for the ride.
Incredible, man. Incredible. Well, Adam, thank you so much, man, for joining us, taking the time today.
I know. I appreciate it.
Like, it's good to really get a firm understanding of that. Like, Cookbook, just, I was like, okay, it's this AI thing. This is really cool. I kind of got the quick version of it. So it's great to get some more insight into everything you guys are doing over there.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you again for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, all right. So much, Adam. Pleasure. Take it easy.
All right, man.